2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. I am not forgotten. In life, we face lots of challenges. We face crooked folks. And the truth be told, we even encounter just crazy stuff. Do you have some people in your life and they just do crazy stuff? I mean, you just don't understand. It just didn't make any sense. Now, why in the world would you do that? That's just crazy. Those crazy people, or actually the actions of people that appear to be crazy, is placed in our lives for a reason. I believe that of all the things that we go through, all the crazy, all of the crooks, all of the things that we are challenged with in life, nothing hurts and nothing can really be compared to the people that we encounter that break their promises. When you enter into an agreement with someone, they promise to do something and you promise to do something. And sometimes in life, we'll act based off what they promise to do. And so when we move based off their words and their actions never manifest, it can leave you in a bad place. Because the only reason I signed for that house is because you were going to pay half of it. And the only reason I agreed to do this is because you said that you'll do that. And so now you fool me out there, and now you change your mind.
Have mercy, Jesus.
We have to challenge people and be challenged ourselves that the things that we do in life, we do them expecting nothing in return. So if I give you something, and I knew you were lying when you told me you're going to pay me back next week anyway. And so when I do something and there's no expectation, if you don't pay me back, we still tight. Now, I'm not crazy. You won't get nothing else from me, but I don't dislike you. I just know where to place you. I just know how to deal with you moving forward. See, God gives his children wisdom. You read books and we get knowledge. Wisdom teaches us how to apply knowledge. Now, wisdom comes from the Lord. You can know a lot of stuff and still be a fool. Some folk call them educated fools. You ever met someone and they can articulate to you physics and science and they don't have enough common sense to treat you like you're a child of God? You ever met someone, they have more degrees and certificates on the wall and they don't even know how to have a relationship with people? God gives wisdom. And because God gives us wisdom, we have to understand that God is extending to us kindness. Now, kindness is what you receive when someone does something for you expecting nothing. Kindness is benevolence. Kindness is to see someone in need and to respond to the need. Someone said the greatest thing that we can do as children of God is to be kind to other children of God. In other words, what we have to do is we have to love our neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I love me and I'll do some special things for me. And so what God is challenging is to love your neighbors and do special things for them. But let me tell you about Pookie and Ray right now, because Pookie and Ray right now, very loving folk. And God is saying, and sometimes I look at you, and I look at your actions, and I see how lame you are with your excuses as to why you won't go to church, why you won't perform a ministry in the church, why you won't do this. And God is saying, and I look at you, and I don't like your action. But in spite of who we are, God still shows kindness to us. In other words, God is saying, I have a covenant agreement with you through your father Abraham. And it's not about kindness for you based off what you are doing. It's because God is saying, but I entered into the relationship and I have to do what I said I would do. See, when two people come together in a relationship, nothing shall separate that relationship. Now, there was a young man, his name is David. Now, we kind of introduced David and Jonathan and Saul and this whole story on Wednesday night. And so, in essence, what we're talking about is David, who came from nowhere, end up being a king. Let me speak to somebody here who is always concerned about where you started from. I started from the projects. I started from a country town. I started from a divorced background. I started from this and I started there and I started there. God is not concerned about where you started from. What he's concerned about is where he's taking you to. He knows where you started from. And so David meets a young man by the name of Jonathan. Now, David was from nothing. Jonathan was from a king's family. Now, Jonathan had everything that a child could possibly want. His dad was king. And so you wasn't going to mess with the king's son, because if so, then the king was going to do whatever he decided to do to you. David entered into a relationship with Jonathan. Now, David and Jonathan was in this relationship, and when they were in this relationship, David had nothing to offer Jonathan whatsoever. When God connects you with a friend, you may not have a quarter to loan to him, but that's irrelevant, because you have something inside that person needs. We all have gifts and talents inside of us. Don't look at friendship based off what I bring to the relationship. That's almost irrelevant as to what you bring to the relationship. If the only thing that you bring to the relationship is prayer, baby, you brought too much to the relationship. Yeah. What I'm trying to say is prayer is more than enough. I'm trying to say, in spite of what you're going through, if you'll pray about it, spend some time with God, God will work it out. I don't care where you are this morning, what you're going through, how many people have turned their back on you this morning? If you turn it over to God, God will work it out. Have you ever tried the Lord this morning? Have you ever? You got to know that God will work it out. See, when God works something out, then that's not sufficient. When God really delivers you from something, whoo, thank you, Lord, because I know where I was on my way. Whoo, thank you, Lord, because I know the pain when that person rejected me. See, when God really delivers you, you got something to praise God for. See, the church doors is closed, but you think about the goodness of God, and you begin to praise God anyway. You're driving down the street, and don't think you're talking to yourself, but you're turning it over to God. You just said, Lord, I thank you for what you've done. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, but I know what you've done for me. See, we have to get in a place where there's a relationship with God in spite of it. David and Jonathan entered this relationship. And in 1 Samuel 20:14 through 18, when they entered the relationship, Jonathan said, now I realize you may not be bringing anything to the relationship, but this is what I want you to do for me. I want us to make a covenant agreement that what you'll forever do is show kindness, not just to me, but even when I'm dead and gone, I still want you to extend that kindness to my household.
All right.
Watch this. So somebody here is working in a position that you don't qualify for because your mama and your daddy prayed for you.
All right. All right. All right. All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Lord.
See, the problem is, in 2010, we are so cute, we are so arrogant, and we have such a praise for God, and we are so sophisticated that we think our resume and our little education got us to where we are. Baby, you need to realize when mom and daddy couldn't read a book, but they can pray for you, that's why you are. So don't sit here this morning like you're cute. Don't sit here this morning like your resume landed you the job. Don't sit here this morning like you did it all by yourself. Baby, it was mom and dad and the community and some other folk that's been praying for you. You better thank God for it. You better stop looking at them and say, well, they didn't have this, they didn't have that. You better begin to thank God for those that opened the door for you. You better begin to thank God for the mom that walked around the room in a row. That's how you can have some. Who never knocked on you, get out of my way. You better praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says that you're supposed to honor your father and your mother. And we sit like we did it all by ourselves. Covenant relationship. David and Jonathan had this covenant relationship. And so what Jonathan said is, promise me that once we're in this relationship, that not only will you show kindness to me, but when I'm dead and gone, you still allow that kindness to show in my household. And so David says, I'll do that for you. And so David becomes king. When David becomes king, everything is going well for David. Right. Now everything is going well for David. David says, now it's a quiet time. No more battles. No more wars. Everything is quiet. Let me go and visit folks and see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. David goes to a city called Lodabar. When David gets to Lodabar, by the way, Lodabar means to lack. Don't forget that. Lodabar means to be in a place and you're lacking some stuff. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Are you lacking some stuff in your place this morning? Are you sitting somewhere this morning and not enough money, not enough friends, not enough love? Are you sitting somewhere this morning and there's a whole lot of stuff that is lacking where you are? That's your Lodabar. Remember that. We're coming back to Lodabar. And so David goes to Lodabar. When David gets to Lodabar, he sees some folks, and what he says is that, and chapter number 9, verse number 1, he says, now I came, by the way, remembrance, point number one, remembrance. He says, is there anyone here from the house of Saul? Now, you have to understand the relationship between Saul and David.
That's right.
The relationship between Saul and David is that David was the young king coming up. Yeah. Saul was the old man. Yeah. Saul was insecure because he seen this young boy coming up. Yeah. And so he tried to kill David because the women in the community said, now David killed just a few and Saul killed a whole lot. Men, our egos will get us in trouble every single time. You know, women, you ever deal with a man who had a big ego? I don't care if you broke the book out, you showed it to him where it was in the book. I don't care if you snatched the map down and showed him the direction on the map. His ego said, no, I don't believe it.
All right.
Look up here. You want to go home? Look up here. I want to make sure you get home today. Look this way. I want to make sure you go home now. Yeah. So here they are. Saul tried to kill David, but that didn't work. And so David becomes king. And the first thing he does when he comes to the city is that his remembrance take him back. And he says, is there anybody in the house of Saul where I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? Did you get that?
Yeah.
He's looking in the house of Saul, not because he had a relationship or a covenant with Saul, but he had a covenant with Jonathan. And so in spite of the one who tried to be a hater, he's going to bless the house anyway because he's going to keep his words.
Amen.
Some of us is falling out with our own friends. And so we won't say into the covenant relationship because we're choosing sides. Baby, right or wrong, always choose what God is placing in your heart. Stop jumping to this relationship and that relationship and choosing sides. And so Jonathan said, I'm not going to choose a relationship with my dad if I know my dad is wrong. Right. He says, I made a covenant relationship with Jonathan, and I'm going to stick to it. And so the first thing, point number one, remembrance, is he says, now, is there anybody here that I can show kindness toward because of Jonathan's sake? Now, remembrance, I want you to think about this morning. God knows who you are, where you are, and what you need. God is omniscient. Total knowledge of everything. God is omnipresent. He's every place. So God doesn't need a remembrance, but every time you pray, you bring it back to Him. Listen. When you pray, you don't tell God, you just bring it back up to Him. And so God knows that you know what He's saying. See, the problem with breaking relationships is that in a relationship, you promise something, I promise something, and you act like you can't remember. God is saying, I remember. You ever been there with someone? Well, I don't remember saying that. Just me. I got some folk in my life, I have to record the conversation. I got some folk in my life, as soon as we get off the phone, I have to send them a text while it's fresh on their mind. Because they want to clear up and down. I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. David and Jonathan is in this relationship. And while they're in this relationship, David says, I'm going to show kindness toward this house because of what you did for me. He remembered Jonathan. He could have said, I'm king, I'm the man. And he could have beat it on his chest and say, I have no reason to honor that relationship, and there's absolutely nothing that Jonathan can do. Listen, strength doesn't come from you ignoring promises. Strength comes from you keeping the words that you say. And so when you make a vow, the Bible says it's better for you to honor the vow than to not make a vow at all. Now he moves from a place of remembrance to recognition. Now recognition is that then somebody says to him, they say, well, Jonathan still has a son. Now, watch this. He says, your Bible says, now he has a son, but it describes the son as being lame.
Lame.
Isn't that something? I mean, if I told you Ricky was still alive, I'd have to tell you he was lame. See, why did the Bible have to explain that he was lame? See, watch this. He could say, oh, he's crippled. I really don't have to honor this now. Because who is he? And by the way, he's at somebody else's house and they're taking care of him. I don't have to deal with this guy. You know, sometimes when you are lame, sometimes when you lack something in life, people really don't want to deal with you.
That's right. That's right.
My seniors, as you grow older, sometimes children doing everything but stopping by to check on you. They have everywhere to go and they can't take 5 minutes to stop and say, do you need something? Can you do that? Can you do that? See, we have to remember that we have to recognize who got us where we are today. See, recognition is very important. That's why the first promise in the Bible, or the first scripture in the Bible that came with promise, it says, honor your father and your mother. And the condition is, God says, I'll extend your days. You'll have longer life. That's the first time God ever said, if you do this, then I'll do this. So it's very important that we give honor to who honor is deserved of. And so here it is, recognition. And he says, yeah, Jonathan still has a son. Jonathan's son. Now, Jonathan's son is lame. Now, because he's lame, you're going to have some issues with him. Because he can't move like everybody else. And because he can't move like everybody else and he has these handicaps, people can so easily brush you aside. Now, the story behind how Jonathan's son became lame is that when battle war was going on, the nurse came to get Jonathan's son John and to take him and to rescue him, but she slipped and fell.
All right now.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. She was trying to do the right thing,
yes.
But she just slipped and fell.
Yes, Lord.
I wonder, have you ever been trying to do the right thing?
Right.
And you slip and fail.
Right.
I wonder, have you ever been trying to show kindness towards someone, but you said the right thing in the wrong way, and they took it out of proportion?
Right.
I wonder, have you ever been trying to be a blessing to someone, but they took it the wrong way, and then what a blessing should have came out of, mess came out of. I wonder, have you ever slipped and failed in a relationship when your heart was pure and your mind was made up, but you did the wrong thing to someone else and it came across the wrong way?
Yes.
See, people will give you honor and they'll take it back. But when God bless you, baby, it's a blessing forever. You have to realize that God says whatever it is that he gives to you, it's yours forever. See, I love the blessings that God gives us because I don't have to worry about God coming back and then taking the blessing back. I'm so glad that I serve a God who says, listen, I know you're going through something, but in the midst of going through something, if you cast your cares upon me, I love you, I care about you. He says, if you give it to me, turn it over to me, I'll work it out. Have you ever found yourself in a position and God needs to work some stuff out for you? Have you ever found yourself when you entered a relationship with some other folks and they forgot? But thank God, God never forgets. Thank God that he's always there. I can call him. He's on the main line. Any time of the night, I can call him and say, God, here's my problem. Here's my issues. And just in the nick of time, God will show up. Won't he show up in your life? Won't he make a way out of no way? Have you ever tried the Lord and God showed up in your life? See, sometimes God will allow us to go through something so we can show other folk just how bad he is. Isn't God bad? Isn't God good? Has God ever stepped in for you? Midnight hour, he stepped in. Bill passed due, he stepped in. You see, whenever you begin to recognize God, God says, then I recognize you. So whenever you begin to turn it over to God, God says, I haven't forgotten about you. I know how long you've been praying. I know how long you've been crying out. Just don't let go right now. See, God is taking you through something because God is taking you to someplace and you got to go through right now. But don't you give up. I know where you are. It's a dry place right now. But just because it's dry right now, you better believe that God, the weatherman, has the power to let it rain in your life. Somebody ought to ask God for some rain this morning. Because God said, I'm taking you through something this morning. And as I begin to take you through something this morning, I'm going to let it rain. See, rain is the reward to your life. You've been going through something and you showed your kindness to somebody and they overlooked you. But God said, man, I remember that thing. I'm going to come back and see about you. Now watch this. Now David blessed the household because of his covenant relationship. The story that we're dealing with this morning, to me, has nothing to do with a Jonathan and a David and a Saul. It has to do with me and my God. That's what the story has to do with me. Me and my God. Watch this story. God looked at my lullaby. God looked at me in a place of dryness and a place of lack. And when God saw me at the place of dryness and a place of lack, what God did says, come on in, sit at the king's table. I'm in a covenant agreement with you. I know that you're lame this morning. I know you can't walk straight. I know you got some bruises in your life. I know your credit is jacked up, but come on, sit at the king's table anyway. I know that you don't qualify, baby, but just because you've been kind to someone else, come on in and sit at the king's table. And so the story goes on. David then sends for a word. David says, go get the boy and bring the boy here because I want him to sit at the king's table. See, God is looking for somebody this morning to sit at his table. You're looking at your qualifications. You're looking at your degree. You're looking at the price tag on your house. And God is saying, baby, I'm looking at your heart. If your heart is right, baby, I'll do a supernatural thing through you. If your heart is right, baby, if your mind is made up, there's no mountain that is too high, baby. There's no valley that is too low. There's no river that is too wide, baby. I'll get to you, baby. I'll find you in your mess. I'll find you in your struggles. I'll find you in your sins. I'll find you in the club. I'll find you on drugs. I'll find you in the liquor bottle. I'll find you wherever you mess. Nothing will separate me from the love of God.
I'm so glad that God loved me. I'm so glad he gave me his only begotten son. I'm so glad that son stepped forth on an old rugged cross. I'm glad he died for me. Do you know he died for you? When the son came to David,
you got to get this. When he came to David, he was afraid. He was afraid to come into the presence of the king.
Yes.
And so the king says, don't be afraid. This is a good day.
Yes.
I've been through some ups. I've been through some downs.
Yes.
But on that day, it's a good day.
Yes.
I'm going into the presence of the king on that day. See, I've been running and you've been running too. You've been through hell and you've been through high waters here, baby.
Yes.
But on that day, he's going to say, come on in, rest a little while. I know you've been lying on, but come on in, rest a little while. I know you've been without, but come on in and rest a little while. I know they stabbed you in the back, but come on in, rest a little while. I know you're tired, but come on in, baby, and rest a little while. I want you to sit with the king at the king's table. Now, when you sit at the king's table, everything that the king has, baby, he says, here, I'll slide it to you. See, we don't have to get to heaven to get some of the blessings that God has in store for us. We keep talking about when I get to heaven. Baby, I'm going to bring heaven down on this earth. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. And in my hand, there's pleasure forevermore. I'll move heaven. Heaven will take for me. God says, I gave you my only begotten son. When he gave us Jesus Christ, he separated heaven. He did it for me. He did it for you. Don't you know that you got the same power that Jesus has? Don't you know that he says, greater things you'll do? You better begin to act on your power. You better begin to walk in your power. You better begin to speak to your demons in your life. You better tell somebody, you better get out of my way. I'm coming through. I've been tied up long enough. I've been tangled up long enough. I've been set back long enough. I'm coming for my breakthrough. My breakthrough is right there for me, baby. I'm not forgotten. I've been through some stuff, but I'm not forgotten. Let me say this in closing.
Thank you.
Now, to be a person who you got some issues. The Bible describes it as being lame. Now, to be lame means a body part is not functioning properly. I don't need my body to praise God. Maybe you lost the arm somewhere. Maybe you lost the eye somewhere. Maybe you lost a spouse somewhere. Maybe cancer found you somewhere. But I still got to praise. If my praise is still in my spirit, man, I could be going through hell. But that ain't got nothing to do with my praise, man. I'm praising when I'm going through. I'm praising when I come to the other side. Because I know that I got something to praise him for. You ought to stand on your feet and give him a praise this morning. You got something to be thankful for. Come on and praise the name of the Lord. Come on and praise him like he's been good to you. Come on and praise him like he delivered you. Come on and praise him like he saved you. Come on and praise him like he answered your prayer. Come on and praise him this morning. Praise him like he healed you this morning. You got something to be thankful for. You got something to be thankful for. God has done something for you. You ought to praise him right now. While you're in this atmosphere, and this atmosphere is charged for your blessings, you ought to be stupid enough to ask for the ridiculous this morning. You ought to be stupid enough to ask for a miracle this morning. You ought to be stupid enough to cancel out some bad stuff in your life. Than he that is in the world. Greater, 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 greater. Greater is he. See, I'm going through something in this body, but my spirit man is not touched. I'm going through something. It feels bad, but my
spirit man still got joy. See, somebody's stabbing you in the back right now. And your body is reacting as though it wants to quit. But your spirit man says, just hold on to God's control. As a matter of fact, what I want to challenge you to do this morning, every time you feel like quitting, I just want you just to sit down in the spirit. And say, you know what? I can't do this thing. I'm going to sit down and have a little talk with God. Now God, you said you'll supply all of my needs. So right now, God, I got some needs that only you can supply. You said that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Now some folks shoot at me right now, but you said they won't prosper. God, you said every need that I ever have, you'll supply. See, you got to tell God what God told you. In the midst of going back, just tell him. You know who I am. When the sun was shining, God, I praise you on that day. Yeah, I know it's a storm, but I still got my praise. And I still got my trust in you. I still got my faith in you. I still got my confidence in you. And Lord, I'll never leave you if you don't leave me, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, even when I feel weak, you said I never leave you, never forsake you. So I'm going to praise you the more because I know that you are strong when I'm weak. I'm going to praise you the more because I know that when I feel like giving up, Lord, you really stand up and show out in my life. You got to praise God and praise your way through your mess.
Thank you.
You got to praise him. You got to praise him.
Hallelujah.
Can't nobody praise him for you. You got to praise him for yourself. See, you've been kind to some folks. You've been good to some folks. And you think that they forgot you. Maybe they have, but listen, your house got a blessing on it. 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 Sharing goodness and mercy.
Thank you.
Is following you. You wonder why on Friday when the bills is due at 5 o'clock at 4:59, God allows someone to call your house and say, I was just thinking about you and I got a blessing for you.
Thank you, God.
Ain't nobody but God.
Yes.
You wonder how you keep making it out of it. God keep opening doors. You gotta know, you gotta know, you gotta know. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I want you to think about the thing that you've been asking God for the longest. That thing that just won't show up. And you're waiting on it. You to try to see it from God's eyes. He's been waiting to release. He's been waiting to release. God wants to release something into you this morning. He wants to do it because of kindness. Not necessarily what you've done to someone else, but what's upon your house. The house of Israel, the church. See, kindness is when God does something and I did nothing to get it. I'm talking to someone who one day just said, Lord, here I am. And from the day that you said, Lord, here I am, you've been through hell, but blessing has always been there. You've been through the fire, you've been through the storm, you've been through the rain, but God is still blessing you in spite of you. You may be in a place right now and the economy is a place of lack, but God is saying that has nothing to do with my kindness towards you. The Bible declares, through loving kindness have I drawn thee. Through loving kindness have I drawn thee. God is speaking to someone this morning. Love. 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 See, we got to forgive some folk in order to really see love. There's some stuff that you're dealing with this morning. And you came in here and you brought some stuff. I want you just to close your eyes in the presence of the Lord. And I just want you just to lift your hands. Someone has wronged you. I'm speaking to someone this morning. Someone has wronged you.
hardest thing for you is to let it go. While you're in the presence of the Lord this morning, my challenge is for you to let it go. What they did is nothing in comparison to what you are about to receive, somebody. What they did is nothing in comparison to what you're about to receive, somebody. Somebody, your breakthrough is right here. Somebody, God is about to open up the weapons. Somebody, God is getting ready to release. Somebody, God is getting ready to do a marvelous thing in your life. I'm talking to somebody. When you let go, God will move into that place. It's a lot of hatred there. A lot of dislike there. Move that out of the way so God can move in. And watch it. While you're in the presence of the Lord this morning, perhaps there's one here that doesn't know Christ as your personal Savior. As the deacons come and symbolically we open the doors of the church, we want to extend an invitation to someone this morning. And you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, we invite you to come. You get to come as you are, jacked up, broke, disgusted. God says, I love you in spite of. You can't fix yourself. God says, just come. With everyone this morning, not sure about your salvation, God is saying, come. Hallelujah. That's going to extend that kindness to you. You need a shield. You need protection. You need the covering. If you're here without a church home, come.
Today. The captives are set free.